Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am extra excited this week because we have another guest on the podcast. Claudia Gebhardt was our guest this week, and she has a Pinterest business. So she offers Pinterest services for businesses, and she also is a Pinterest mentor. So I met her about a year ago on social media, and we got to know each other, and we've kept in contact ever since. So I am so excited. I've been wanting to have Claudia on for a while and was finally able to get her on the podcast. And she talks about social media, SEO. Do you know what SEO is?
Negative.
Guess what SEO stands for?
Secure investment opportunities.
Investment with an I?
Oh, God. Employment. I don't know what I'm thinking.
Not often.
I'm melting down, man.
It's too hot out. So SEO stands for search engine optimization, which sounds really boring, but you actually really need to know what it is and know how to use it if you have a business. And if you want your business to be found on social media, on Google, your blog post to be found, anything. So if you have something that's on the internet, you need to know what SEO is. And your dad actually knows a lot about it and used a lot of it when he was making the website. So anyways, we talk about SEO. That's really just a snippet of what we talk about. We talk a lot more about kind of her small business journey, starting it up. She still works a 9-to-5, so how she does both, how she balances, and getting confidence in her businesses and her services and kind of all about what she does. So it was really fun to have her on the podcast, but we are going to do a quick toast and roast session before we get into the interview. So I've got Casey here for Toast and Roast, and we're drinking a rhubarb IPA from Slippery Pig Brewery in Poulsbo, Washington, and it's quite delicious. We're sharing it. 9.9%. Jeez.
Jeez Louise.
Sheesh.
Sheesh.
It doesn't really taste like rhubarb, but it is quite delicious, and I don't like IPAs, so maybe the rhubarb cuts down the crazy hoppiness.
Or maybe I'm changing your tastes.
No.
Never.
Casey, let's start low and high. What's your roast of the week?
My roast of the week, I'd have to say, is, I feel like I shouldn't just say it. It's just too damn hot.
I thought that's what it was going to be, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's just too damn hot. I'm working outside all day, every day. And then it actually ties into my toast.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm just going to keep this rig rolling.
All right.
So toast is we're going fishing on Sunday.
We are going fishing, fancy fishing.
Fancy fishing on a boat for the salmon.
We've talked about this before, how we usually just shore fish, or we fish on the canoe in the lake, not like fancy, but we're going out
in the open water.
And we're going to catch salmon.
Yes.
And if you guys have listened for the past couple weeks, a couple weeks ago we tried to catch some salmon in the river, and it did not happen.
There wasn't a single salmon in that river.
What time did we get up for that fishing trip?
3.
We got up at 3, or
and we met him at 3:30.
Oh my God. So we met him at 3:30 for that fishing trip. This time we have to meet at 4:30, and it's across the water, so we gotta leave by 4.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why we have to do this so early. I know why.
So you can sneak up on the fishies.
I just don't like how early it is. But it is supposed to be 104 in Tacoma that day. So I'm glad we're doing it early in the morning before it gets that hot. But I know that's too hot.
I'm getting the hell out of Dodge before it gets insane.
Jeez. Okay. That's a great roast because it is too hot. It's too hot. It's going to be super hot all next week. Most people who live over here do not have AC like us. Some of our windows don't even open for whatever reason.
Most of our windows don't even
open. Almost all of our windows don't open. We'll talk
Every
about
one
that.
Of our windows doesn't even open.
There's one that opens. Stop. That'd be dramatic. And it's just, it gets too hot and I don't like it. So that is kind of like my roast. So my roast is I've just been feeling not great lately. And I don't know if it's because of the heat that obviously makes, you know, you're more irritable, but it's just, you know how there's, it's called seasonal affective disorder, people, or seasonal depression. People get sad in the winter when it's dark and gloomy, and that's a real thing. I think I have the opposite because I get really sad in the summertime. I don't, like, and it's kind of a thing that people talk about, like summertime sadness, like, or the summertime blues. That's what I have because it's too hot and you just see people on vacation or at the lake and you're comparing everyone's perfect bodies to your body and you just feel bummed out. And that's how I feel when it's summertime. Like I just get bummed out in the summertime. I like to be in the zone, grinding, working. And when everyone else is in that zone too, I just don't like seeing everybody on vacation, which... And it's too hot. That's really the other thing too.
Yeah.
It just really, I'm not a big summertime person. It's not for me.
I really do not do well in the heat either.
No.
That's a problem.
We had a meeting after work today and the guys were outside all day working and I was outside just for this meeting. And the meeting was like 10 minutes long and I was dying sitting there. We were also sitting still and there was no breeze where we were, but I'm just sitting there and I'm just sweating. It was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my whole day.
I was like, we're all just dying here while we're having this meeting, but it's cool.
It's only going to be like 16 degrees hotter. On Saturday.
That's why we're leaving. I cannot deal with this. I cannot. So we are from Port Angeles, which is near, I say it's like near Forks when it's like this, when they say Forks, it rains the most there out of anywhere else in the country, you know, like how it says that with all the Twilight stuff. And that's my element. I want to be in the rain, the snow, even just the darkness. It sounds so creepy, but
I prefer that too.
Clouds, wind, rain, thunder. Not hot.
Like, not hot. Not hot heat.
Yeah. My other roast is that we still do not have a release date for Yellowstone season 4, and everyone's waiting for it. People thought it was going to come out on June 20-something or July 20-something, I believe. People said that it gets usually is released around Father's Day, which is this past weekend was Father's Day, or it gets announced on Father's Day that it's coming like within a month. We haven't heard anything. I'm just
radio silence.
Where is it? It's funny. I follow some things on social media where it's just funny memes. Like everyone's talking about it. When is it coming? Like, just tell us when it's coming. I'd rather know it's coming in 6 months than live with this like anxiety and have it just show up in 2 months.
Well, that's like me waiting for Letterkenny.
Everybody wants to know.
They just randomly will put out a season.
But my toast of the week is that we watched The Morning Show, and it is on Apple TV. Is it called Apple TV or Apple Plus? Apple TV.
Apple Plus TV.
It's called Apple TV. And so it's an app that you can have for your smart TV. Even if you don't have the Apple, I thought we didn't have access to it because we use an Amazon Fire Stick. And anyways, the show is on there and it was so good. Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Steve Carell, and Mark Duplass, and Mindy Kaling, and so many good people. It was so good. I love a good drama show, but it has to be really well done. And that was extremely well done, and I love anything with Reese Witherspoon, and her character in this was one of the greatest characters I've seen on TV in a long time. I love it. I love how she represents women, and Oh, it was so good. She's a real good journalist, a real truth seeker, and not somebody who has their own agenda, but it kind of revealed that everybody has their own agenda, and is that okay? I mean, there are so many good lines. Like, at the end, he's like, who cares if it's selfish or altruistic? We'll figure it out later. Right now is right now. And I just love the show. I highly recommend it. It was so, so good. You loved it too.
I really liked it. Yeah, it was, I had a feeling I would like it when it first, like, we saw the previews a while back, but I didn't think I was going to like it that much. And it's a really good show. I would recommend it.
Jennifer Aniston's character was also great, but it really touched on some important topics in a way that was so entertaining, and you just wanted to eat it up. And
Michael Scott.
Drama. And it was kind of, at the beginning, Steve Carell, everyone knows he's Michael Scott, and that's kind of going to be his character for life. And so seeing him in a different role is sometimes a little weird, but I still thought it was really good. But he did some things where at the beginning we're like, that's kind of like something Michael Scott would do. But other things he does are completely the opposite. So it was just funny.
Oh, God.
It wasn't supposed to be a funny show, but it was really good. Yeah, so I think that's it for Toast and Roast. Do you got anything else?
No, I think that's it for right now.
Hopefully next week we're toasting about catching big fish, and hopefully we did not roast alive when it's supposed to be 104 degrees.
Oh, that's not gonna happen. We're sleeping in the car if we end up staying
in the car with the AC on.
Yep. Now wake me up. We're gonna go get gas in the middle of the night, keep it rolling.
Gonna do something. I don't even know. Okay, so now we're gonna get into my interview with Claudia. Make sure you go check out her Instagram, her website, her Pinterest, all that stuff. Even if you're not super interested in Pinterest, one, you should be, and two, she shares so much good stuff about just boundaries and work and starting a business and her journey with all of that. It was so interesting. So you will enjoy this, even if you're kind of on the fence about Pinterest. I think you won't be on the fence anymore after you listen to this, and you'll be even more interested in the creative side of things and kind of just intrigued about setting boundaries and work and getting really clear on what you want. And if she can do it, we can do it. You can do it. So here's the interview. All right. Welcome to the podcast, Claudia. She is a Pinterest expert and a mentor, and we became internet friends about a year ago, and I'm really excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. No, I know it's crazy. I think we met like a year ago now that we've been chatting.
Yeah, I love it. So this is really fun to have like internet friends become like real friends, and it's just really cool. So Claudia, can you tell everyone a little bit about you and what your business does?
Yeah. So I started my business a little over a year ago, and I kind of just dove right into Pinterest marketing. I kind of felt like there was a huge gap between social media marketing and all those kinds of other areas where Pinterest was kind of more of the, you know, non-terrain area where people didn't really want to dabble too much. And I took it as an opportunity to utilize previous skills to kind of go into the nitty-gritty of Pinterest management, which also then kind of switched into, you know, coaching roles and just like with marketing, with Pinterest, and kind of just overflows into like the mentorship side.
Mm-hmm. So when did you start your Pinterest business?
Roughly a year ago.
Awesome. And then kind of what were some of the challenging things starting out, and then what were some of the exciting things?
I think starting out for me was, well, I still have a 9-to-5. So I feel like one of my biggest challenges was getting over the fact of showing up, showing my face. I am guilty of the quote graphics, trying to get my way to people getting to know me. So I decided to really take hold of my business, show my face, you know, invest in brand photography, figure out like what direction I really wanted to take it in. And it kind of just sprouted from there. But I do think some difficulties, like overall, especially running a Pinterest business, is that the turnover is a little bit quicker. Depending, I feel like there's not a lot of, it's crazy. Pinterest is considered a long-term platform, yet right. there's not a lot of long-term clients that happens. But I am fortunate enough to be working with a lot of people for X amount of months now that believe in the true power of Pinterest, but obviously understand when people don't, you know, feel yeah. the same way or if it doesn't work for their business. But that is probably the biggest downfall.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. The power of Pinterest, like, tell everybody kind of what you do with Pinterest management and why it's really important for businesses and kind of some of the I know that you help a couple different types of business owners. So just first of all, what do you do on Pinterest? How do you help people?
Yeah, so I kind of do a variety of things, but I'll just to shorten it up. I really help people start on Pinterest. I'm not really someone who works with more established accounts. I kind of help people get into Pinterest. So I'm more of like the education base and then moving into more of like the client's handoff kind of space where like I'm setting up their account, I'm optimizing, and to simplify, optimizing is just more of like an SEO strategy. So utilizing keywords in order for their, you know, content to be seen. And then going into the creation and design of Pinterest pins to get people to their website. So like the really the whole point, I kind of categorize Pinterest on like three different pillars. So you're creating brand awareness, you are creating leads, and then eventually sales. So those are top three things that I focus on. But if you're on the top tier of never using Pinterest, you're most likely going to hit the brand awareness, and then you slowly fold into those other phases.
So Pinterest is so great for so many reasons. Like, we could just like nerd out on that, but I love that in Pinterest, you can literally go from, I think it's especially great for a product-based business because you can literally go from an image of the product straight to the website, like the link is there, and just purchase it like right away. Whereas Instagram, Facebook ads are kind of there, but like if you're looking at something on Instagram, you cannot really just like buy it right away. Like, it doesn't take you to the full-on website easily as Pinterest, I would say. So what are some examples of different like businesses that you've worked with on Pinterest and like that you've seen success with?
I'd actually say a lot of businesses have had success in areas where I didn't really see as much of a market for until I started working more heavily. One of them being actually, I actually work really closely with a parenting coach, and her content, you know, you always think of Pinterest as being like health and fitness and products and all that kind of stuff. But since working with her, like it was like an untapped area where I wasn't familiar with, like I don't have kids or anything, so I would have never known to really search content like that.
Right.
But her content has exploded over the, I think we're going on 6 months of working together. And it's like, she started off with a blog. Now she has a podcast, you know, she has a lot of other things that she's working on, like her own coaching program, but she does a really good way of portraying her content in a certain way where it just converts super, super well. But then another one would be, I feel like one that people probably don't realize, web designers do really, really well on Pinterest. Like, I feel like if they're branding and web designers, they almost have like that, I don't know, like they just have that thing for them where, you know, you can utilize all of their portfolio and link it. And a lot of them already have their portfolios on their website. So you're just kind of repurposing content right. and linking it back. So it's not like you're really creating a ton of content for them. Like, yeah, they might have a blog, they might have a podcast. That's great. But you can just literally take every single piece of work, whether it's on their website or not. And if they created it, you can link it because that is what they did. So I find that really incredible. And then obviously we're going to probably go into product base because that is probably like the top successor that I've ever had. And one of them actually being a subscription box company that I've been working with for the past few months, and her account also I don't even have to put as half the effort into doing anything, because like you said, you can create Pinterest pins as products and it makes it super easy for it to convert. Sometimes you don't even have to physically click before you know the price or what to do or what the heck's going on. Like yeah. It literally shows up as like a physical like ad and it's yeah. without paying for it.
Right.
So it's amazing.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And frick, what was I going to say? It's search based. Like when you're on Instagram, how often are people searching hashtags anymore? Like I think that happened when Instagram first started and they're like, oh, I want to look at like, I don't know, something in, let's say Salt Lake City, Utah or Seattle, Washington. Like what are the sites that I see or restaurants that I go to? Maybe people use those ones, but I don't feel like people really use hashtags very much. But you will literally go on Pinterest, search for, like you said, like fun stuff to do with my kids, if it's a parenting thing or, you know, fashion inspiration or web branding inspiration. And then just pops up like your people who are on Pinterest, like know what they're looking for. And I think the algorithm is also so good because some of the other algorithms for social media, like, I mean, the one, only one I can really think of is Instagram. That's kind of comparable to what Pinterest does, but I think you should talk about just how awesome like a search-based platform is rather than something like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok even, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like with Pinterest, yeah, it's more of a search base. And I feel like because it's so keyword focused, and even if you don't have a strategy, like there's a lot of people on there that are just, you know, pinning to pin. They're not business users. You kind of get mixed with the business and personal, and it's just crazy of what you can find. Like for my business specifically, I like to look at, you know, like branding photography, or maybe I'm working on a specific product. Let me create a mood board for it. Let me, you know, you can add people to boards, which people don't realize of how much of a collaboration it is. So that makes it super easy to kind of work with other people on it. And like, even I, you know, I saw someone else do it. It's something that I probably should do it. Like you can create like dream client boards. Like you create like a specific, like ideal client that you would like to work with, and you create a dream board for it. And I thought it was so amazing that you can spend your time doing it. Yeah. It's like, you know, you kind of just have that vision and then you kind of focus on obtaining that vision, obviously through other ways or even through Pinterest, you know, by itself. But I do want to like touch, I think you're right. When it comes to Instagram, hashtags are not as in as they used to be. Like obviously they're still essential because they mm-hmm. have to be, but I do feel like a lot of people don't understand like the, I don't know, just like how keywords can really affect your business. And believe it or not, Instagram, like people actually should be utilizing at least keywords in most of their content. But they don't, because they think of it as like, oh, just gonna post and people like will engage and then I'll rely on hashtags. But with Pinterest, you just focus on keywords. And I feel like if people focus more on keywords too on Instagram, they might be found a lot easier, or or I could find someone easier, or vice versa. However, I just said it. But I think, yeah, Pinterest is just like Google. We go to Google for answers and we go to Pinterest for answers. I don't really go on Instagram to, you have the inspiration, you have your home feed, but I don't know about you, but my home feed just gets really whacked out sometimes. Yeah. And yes. A lot of TikTokers, a lot of YouTubers, yes. And I don't know what the heck, celebrities, all for it, but it doesn't really help with my inspiration.
Right. It serves a different purpose.
Yes.
So you touched on keywords, and I know that you are kind of like the SEO master. Like that is kind of why you got into Pinterest. It's because you are so good at SEO. Can you tell our regular people who have never taken a like website course or anything, like simply what is SEO?
Okay.
That's a challenge. Okay, I'll try. I know, that's why I'm asking, because I want to figure out a way to do it.
Okay. Well, SEO, for someone who's never even heard the term before, is search engine optimization. So to simply put it, it's pretty much just a bunch of keywords that you use that other people might use just as much to search for a popular topic. So when you're looking for summer nails, whether it's through Google or Pinterest. However, summer nails are a trending topic, especially in the summer. So you're picking keywords that might pop up a lot more than if you've used winter nails. Not saying it wouldn't pop up, but it's not as frequent. So it's really just taking the time to understand what your audience is searching for, and then just using the right words. So when people are searching for a specific topic, whether it's marketing, whether it's fashion, whether it's product, whether it's podcasts, whether it's anything that, you know, you want, you are making sure that you have those keywords in your description or title or whatever, so you will be found when they search for you or search for the specific product. I hope that was good enough.
That was amazing. Yes. I took a class and we talked about SEO, and it was like a one day on SEO, and I still get confused with it. Like, I know it's how people find you and you need to be using these good words and your content, but I think a lot of people don't think about that anymore when they're creating content, because it's just about things like, I mean, if you think about TikTok, it's like, oh, I'll just go viral. And then if you talk about things like Instagram, it's all about like the aesthetic, like how it looks, but how people find it is important too. So that was very helpful.
I agree.
So you said that you still work a 9-to-5 along with starting this business, which I think is just so great that you make the time for this business along with your 9-to-5. How do you kind of keep that balance, and how have you kind of addressed it with maybe any coworkers or bosses or anything like that?
Well, they don't know.
So that's one thing I wanted to know too, because I think that's kind of starting out, I think that's very common. Like, it's one of those things like, do I even tell anybody? Like, do I have to, do I need to yet? Maybe someday. Like, that's something I was kind of wondering about.
Maybe someday, but I mean, they're going to have to try to find me first.
Yeah.
So, I think so for me, and like, that was my biggest thing. That's why I mentioned it earlier, is like why I didn't want to show up. I didn't want to do this, especially on Instagram in the beginning, because of that being such an issue with the 9-to-5 situation. But what has helped me a lot in my business is creating a very like structure, like whether it's like utilizing organization platforms, whether it's sticking to a small to-do list, something that I've learned to really focus on, especially between clients, full-time work. I mean, at the end of the day, my clients know that they're very, very important to me, but if my full-time comes ahead, they are understanding that I have to be in a meeting, I have to do this. And most of them know that, you know, from the hours of, you know, 9-10 a.m., to 3-4, you know, I don't really answer too many like client messages and stuff. So I create boundaries. Like, I don't do client calls past a certain time. I'm very like, even if someone's like, can you do earlier? I can't. I have respect for my corporate job. And I'm sure there's probably a lot of people listening saying that, you know, they hate their 9-to-5 and all this stuff, but I don't hate my 9-to-5. It's not like a toxic environment. I have worked in toxic corporate environments, but this one isn't it. My boss is great. My coworkers are great. And I think it just comes down to, it's just because of my passion. I'd like to say I wear multiple hats in the marketing department. And unfortunately, I am not able to kind of like let out all of my skill sets and like really take myself to another level because I have a corporate wall sitting in front of me. Mm-hmm. And that was my inspiration to start my business. I was going to start a food blog. I had this crazy idea that I was going to just be this big food blogger, which is what got me technically into Pinterest, because I started Pinteresting my food blog.
Yeah.
And then it transitioned into me just focusing on Pinterest and like, you know, kind of, you know, crying in the kitchen to my boyfriend about how, like, I just want to do stuff that I've never done before. I want to kind of go, you know, against the grain. I want to really push and just go for something that maybe people don't agree with, you know, whatever. I just kind of went for it. And here we are a year and a half later. And yeah, I still have a 9-to-5. I still run my business. I work from home for both as of the other like week, I think it's permanently. They're selling our corporate office.
Oh, wow.
So I have the better like bunch. When things happened this past year to two, mm-hmm. I think, you know, I got kind of like a better hand dealt mm-hmm. where it came down to, you know, I think it just comes down to this where my passions lie. And I'm willing to stick around for both until I figure out, you know, what direction I really want to go in. So I guess that's it.
So good. Oh my gosh. I loved all of that. I love talking about like how you really got into Pinterest from the food blog. I love that you say that you don't hate your 9-to-5. Like you still like your 9-to-5 and you like this, you can like both, because I think there's a lot of people out there who are like, quit your job, do what you love. And it's like, whoa, take it easy there. Like we can do both.
Yeah, no, but I am a firm believer. Like if you really despise like what you're doing or you don't feel good. But the thing is, like, you know, you hear a lot of, you know, other people in the space, the entrepreneur space, that, yeah, they will kind of push you. Like once you quit your 9-to-5, you'll feel so much better, yada, yada. But I don't think they realize that you really have to dig deep into like what your goals are as a person. And I think mine isn't necessarily money. That's not my biggest goal in life. A lot of people are like, I want this, this, and this. Like I want to hit X amount of figures, X amount of this. That's not my personality. I want to be successful, but I don't need X amount to be successful. I just want to keep helping people. And if that means, you know, that I help people and I can still work my full time till, you know, at the end of the day, I will pick my business at the end of this. I know I will. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to my corporate job, I just don't feel the need to let go of something that I have created, something where I can handle both. I can be mostly present as much as possible. I try to schedule, I try to keep, you know, create boundaries. I'm not as of a workaholic as I was probably when I started. I really set boundaries. And I think that's what happens with people who work 9-to-5 and keep it, and then also try to run a business. They hit that burnout because they don't do anything about their boundaries. They just say yes to everybody. They say yes to their full-time a lot. Like my full-time knows I'm offline at a certain time and I don't have any communication on my phone. I just pretty much, I'm like, if you need me, you can catch me tomorrow. And they know that. That's they respect nice. Me enough to leave me alone, but I know some people don't have that. So mm-hmm. I feel for people who like have to work, mm-hmm. you know, 7 to 6 or whatever, but mine's not like that. So, and same with my business. I have boundaries with my clients. They can boxer me at any point. And I, even if they boxer me late, I'll still answer. I'm not like mm-hmm. that, but it comes down to create the life that you want. And you got to be proactive. If you want to live out something that you think's impossible or, you know, not obtainable because you have a 9-to-5 staring at you, mm-hmm. well, you just have to sit down and really think about what you really want and just know it is possible, because I guess I'm sitting here doing just as much and I work hard at both. I don't let either go. I still have all my workout classes. I take my dog out all the time. I'm the prime caretaker. My boyfriend has a less flexible. I have two jobs technically, but his yeah. is way less flexible as the one. So you get what I'm saying? Like yeah. I make sure I have that time and I schedule it and I don't let anyone tell me that I can't do something. So it's just, I think it's just mindset too. It just depends mm-hmm. on how far you want to take it.
Yeah. I think over the past year, a lot of people have gotten or have worked to get really clear on what they want and what they want their life to look like and what they want their individual days to look like. And I think that's very admirable that you set boundaries on both. I just moved from a job that I would get emails and texts and all the things all the time. There was no set hour where I would not get emails coming through on my phone, like you say. And when you say, oh, they don't communicate to me through my phone, like it's all through like work computer. I'm just like, whoa, that's crazy. But then I realized, oh, that's how I am now, except for my boyfriend's family owns the business. So like we talk to them, but it's not like, can you do this for me right now? It's just like, do you want to come over and have dinner?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about it later. So yeah, it's fine.
That's much, it's just crazy to think about. So, and there is kind of a sort of, I don't know if I would say like a high or an energy that some people get when you're like, oh, it's like midnight and I'm cranking this out. And that's fun too. But it, overall is nicer to have like some boundaries every once in a while. And like, this is when this ends. This is when this starts. This is my time for just me. Like, don't talk to me about work. Like, that's awesome. I'm really just really inspired by you setting these boundaries and being able to do both. We talked a little bit about kind of what you do and with Pinterest management, but you're also starting to mentor now. Can you talk about some of those like new services that you've been offering? Your, what do you call them? The sip and chat?
Oh, wine chats, but wine chat. Strategy. So yes. You're onto something. Yeah. So I was talking a little bit about going against the grain, and it was something that I was really debating for a while if that was what I was going to do, but I wanted to stand out. I wanted to be a little bit different, and I wanted to incorporate something lifestyle with my business, because business doesn't always have to be that stale thing of just, you know, I have to post X amount, I have to do this, I have to do that, you know, like, I just wanted to do something different. So I have a very strong passion for wine, something that I didn't have that before I moved to Salt Lake 2 years ago. I actually was not a huge wine drinker until I moved to Salt Lake. I don't know what happened.
That's funny.
but it really came down to me like exploring, and it's more than that. I actually really like to cook from scratch. Mm-hmm. I've been cooking a ton in the past, hence why the food blog mm-hmm. was something that was really important to me. But then I started wine pairing, and I love going to wineries and doing all that stuff. And like something that hit me a few months ago, sometimes when I go a little past my boundaries, sometimes I am designing pins later at night. Luckily, I have an amazing team member who helps me on the side with that. But at one point I was only doing like later nights because sometimes I couldn't focus during the day, or maybe I had too much going on. So I'd always just pour my, you know, a glass of red wine, and I'd start designing, and I would just like always joke like wine and design night, you know, like just like post it on the story, like I'm cool or something. But then I realized that like, I got so much work done. It made it more fun. Like I still got all the, you know, I still do what I'm not like getting plastered in designing. I'm just having a little sip in my PJs, you know, yeah, like exactly. It's not a big deal.
Right.
So going into then like the mentorship and everything, I was already offering Pinterest intensive. So for those, they're 90 minute chats. We kind of go through the entire process of Pinterest. So if you're a wanting to service Pinterest, if you're a DIYer, or maybe if you're a team member and someone, you know, your, you know, boss wants you to learn something, that would be for you. So then I was just like, okay, well, why don't I do something? You know, I already launched coaching. It's just like a 90-day program, just 3 months. So you get like 6 90-minute calls. You get Monday through Friday Voxer strategy, all that kind of fun stuff. And then after that, I was just like, okay, well, maybe that's not the most obtainable, even though I feel like my pricing is actually pretty good compared to a lot of other coaches and mentors. You know, I wanted to make it affordable for people, but then I was just like, why don't I do something a little bit simple? Like, what if someone just has like one or two questions on something? Like, why can't we go that direction? And then I was just like, wine chats. I was just like 45 minutes, and wine chats make sense because all of my calls are at night. So I mean, it's very appropriate. I mean, we could do brunch chats, but you know, I don't know if I want to, you know, with a full-time that I don't think I'm going to be popping champagne in the morning, but so I was just like, wine chats, you know, bring your glass of wine. Let's talk it through. What do you need help with? How can I help you? And it goes across the board. You can talk about Instagram. It can be basic Pinterest. We can talk about SEO, blogging, showing up, mindset, like whatever your difficulties are. It could even be like platforms and organizing. Like it could be as simple as that, but something that you just need help with. You don't want to pay an arm and a leg. You don't have time for a course, and you just want to talk to someone who might have some marketing knowledge. I don't know, 5+ years, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you would want to take my advice or not. It's fine. But it's one of those things where I just came up with it. And now my branding kind of transitioned into just, you know, making marketing fun. I want to make it approachable. I want to make it fun, but then also at the same time to get you to where you want to be, and that's to make sales in your business. So that's the whole concept, my long story concept.
I absolutely love it. When you launched it, I was like, this is such a good idea for so many reasons. Like yes, it matches up with the branding, but more so it's just so helpful. And when you kind of were talking it through again, I've heard you talk about it a couple times, but just hearing you talk about it again makes me just think this is just like a real person, like having a real person who knows about marketing take the time to have a relaxed conversation with you, not like super uppity, and like it's, you have your wine, it's more relaxing, like it's a little bit more laid back, you know, just not as intimidating, which sometimes when you're learning something from somebody who has had years of experience can be kind of intimidating. And I just think this is really great. It's just like, you know, normal networking, almost like having that opportunity to have a conversation and work on whatever it is that they want to work with you on. And it doesn't have to be like Pinterest, like super focused. I love that. Yeah, I love it. It just makes me so happy to see like, this is like the zone of genius. That's what I wanted to ask you. Like, what is your favorite part of working on Pinterest or in your business, like, or even mentoring, like, what do you think is like your zone of genius or what brings you the most joy while you're doing all of this?
I think it's actually the strategy behind everything. So whether it's Pinterest management, whether it's, you know, marketing in general, I think strategy is something that I can think a little outside of the box versus like staying in the lines. Cause I feel like when like you're kind of thinking about a marketing strategy or just being strategic, you have to think outside of the box. Like, and then it also goes into analytical. I have a very analytical brain. I wish I had more of a creative touch, but I don't, like, it's gotten better, but it's not like I struggle. Like I, sometimes even in Canva, I'm staring at something and I'm like, how do I make this? Like, you know, you have all these templates, but you don't want, I don't want it to look like that template. So like, you're pulling it apart and putting it back together. I know what I want it to look like, but I just can't get it. But then when I'm doing like a strategy for someone, like say I just got off of a wine chat and like I'm just writing up a strategy notes, something about it just makes me so happy because, you know, like I let them know like, hey, I have your strategy notes done, like really defined notes. And then just like the joy of them being like, this was so helpful. Like, you don't know how much you've helped me. Like, you know, it's just like, I would have never thought of that. Like you really said something in a way that I would have never thought of. And I think that's what gets me. I think it's, I can be very structured of how I talk, especially with marketing and more so SEO and like really analytics. I feel like I can confuse people, but I think one of my like ways with the strategy is just, I like to, maybe I over-communicate sometimes, but I'd rather do that and have someone understand than confuse them a ton of times. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a strategy. I think I really have a knack for strategy. And then maybe one day I'll have the creative part to follow me or not, or we just leave that in the dust and I just take care of strategy.
We're creative. I mean, coming up with this wine chat concept and then some of the other things you do, you do have the creativity, but it is kind of interesting to see because Pinterest is such a combination of the analytical and the creative, which is what I love it so much. But, another thing I wanted to ask you is you are kind of somebody who I've seen in the past year. I mean, this is kind of your first year, year and a half of business. You have kind of started out and you're offering one thing and now you're moving into coaching and kind of with this wine chat, this is a new offer as well. Can you talk about kind of like pivoting and offering new things? And does that make you nervous? Because that would make me nervous. And any advice for people who are like nervous to like launch, whether it's a product, a service, something different than what they're used to?
Yeah, my anxiety really shoots up every time I have a crazy idea. I'm actually, well, obviously no one can see this, but I'm actually in my boyfriend's office. And this is the place where I spend a lot of my time telling him every idea that I have.
Yeah.
Or, you know, chatting up with the biz bestie, blowing her up, unfortunately, because yeah, it's stressful. It is kind of hard, but when it comes down to it, when you don't feel aligned with something, you shouldn't offer something that you don't feel good about. Like if you're not going to talk about it in your stories, if you can't sit here and create content, or you know what I mean? Like you just can't like just get out what you want to get out. There's no point of sticking to it. And like, Yeah, I've tried to like sometimes transition out of Pinterest and then I somehow come back to it. Like, I don't think it's ever going to go away like 100%. Maybe the servicing side will, and maybe it'll just go more into mentorships. But I think right now I feel good at like where I'm at. And on the bright side, here's the thing with pivoting. You have to make sure, maybe something that I didn't do very well and still something that I'm kind of working on, is that you have to be more structured with, you know, other things. Okay, so I started with Pinterest management. That's my go-to. Everyone still refers to me, you know, like, that's great. Mm-hmm. I'm in the know. I have Pinterest clients. Nothing's changing. Great. But when I went into like other areas, sometimes you get discouraged because you're trying to add something new and you don't get anybody to want to work with you, or, you know, you just get so discouraged right away. But I'm going to tell you to keep at it, because you never know with Instagram, like, who's going to see it, who's not going to see it. Always show up, show personality, always talk about it, even if it annoys you, because that's still one of my biggest struggles, is that sometimes I talk about something so much that I'm like, someone already knows, like, they all know, but then I keep, you know, but it, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you might say something different that one day and they're just like, huh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You might just say the right thing. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be afraid of pivoting, but I definitely would have more of a strategy than just sometimes what I do. I just kind of full swing, just like go, but sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I've had a few things that haven't worked that will be unmentioned, but I think it's working now. I think I'm doing pretty good at what I'm doing and I'm not regretting it. If you don't regret it, that's also a good thing. Mm-hmm. Cause you have to feel good of everything that you do, because if, what's the point if you're in a 9-to-5, you want to leave your 9-to-5, but then you're doing something in your business that you hate. And right? shouldn't you have just stayed in your 9-to-5? This is something that you might have not liked either. I mean, it's one and the same.
Right.
I don't know.
Yes, that is a good point. I honestly love seeing like people transition and bring new services and stuff. But I just know that I would also be really nervous. So I think it's really cool that you're just honest about that. And like, I tried some things that didn't work out, and you know, that's okay. And it's the first year and a half. Like, of course, certain things, that's how you find out what people like. But I think we're kind of conditioned to be like, oh, nobody likes it. Nobody likes me. I'm going to quit.
Hey, probably crossed my mind a few times, but that's okay. I think that comes with like our confidence in something. It comes with mindset. This space, like life in general is not that easy. Like, you know, you never know what could be dealt to you, but here's the other thing. You never know what's going to come into it. If I've ever felt discouraged on something, or like felt like, you know, maybe something wasn't hitting, it's usually out of nowhere that someone just comes to me and it's just like, would have never guessed. Like one of my coaching clients, her and I actually have been talking for the past year. And as soon as I launched the coaching, she's like, I've been eyeing your services and I'd love to work with you. And, you know, she probably had bigger choices of, you know, coaches to go to. I think we were talking about it today that, you know, she might have, but she's just said she was happy to find me. And I think that just meant a lot to me that I could have shown up for the past year for someone who I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting to I don't target people. Sometimes it just happens. Right. Same thing with like Pinterest management. Sometimes I think like, oh, you know, slow season, we're good. But then I wake up and then I have some lead forms come in. I'm like, oh no, like, oh no. Like, what did I just, you know, what did I do something? Like, what did I do? But it's great. I'm not going to ever not be grateful for having amazing people that, you know, see the true potential in you. And I think that's what you have to realize. Just one last note on that is, I think I've said this a lot on my Instagram, but like, you're not selling your services at the end of the day. Like, you are selling yourself. Like, you are showcasing your personality, your expertise. And at the end of the day, people are just going to want to work with you no matter what the heck you offer. Like, I could offer like the most random thing. Like, about, you know, if I really was like more established, if I like, some people do that. I mean, I see it all the time in the space. If you're some big name, you could literally offer whatever you want and people will buy from you.
Right.
But you also still, like, as us, you know, like, I want to say like, yeah, I'm a little bit on the smaller end. I don't care. I have a great community. I have people that I trust. I have so many people supporting me. I'm fine with it. I don't need more than what I have. But when it comes down to it, it's just that I know they'll support me. Even if they don't buy from me, I know that they're going to be in my corner just, you know, wooting away. And I think that means just as much. So maybe it's not always a sale, but at least people can support it.
Right. Yeah. Being your true self is so important, because once somebody's working with you, they are going to know, like, you're the real you, and you don't want to, like, not be you anymore. Like, oh, this is social media me, and then this is, like, once you're actually working with me, this is what I'm really like. Like,
oh, that's the
that's
worst.
Not good.
People have been through that, unfortunately, but that's no, you get what you get. I'm an introverted extrovert, but I tend to talk a lot. So I think maybe that I go more the extrovert side, but I can, you know, like, I can kind of be quiet. I like listening to people just as much as I like, you know, talking and telling them my thoughts. So
yeah,
gotta have a balance. It's all about balance. Yes.
I have really enjoyed, like, listening to everything that you've had to say today. So much good stuff. And I've loved hearing about your business journey, and I love following you. Another big thing is that you give out so much good free information just on social media, just on Instagram. You'll just talk about what's going on, give tips. And, like, when there's algorithm changes with Pinterest, you've, like, explained it for people who don't know what's going on. Like, I love the free information that you give out too. So can you tell everybody where they can find you on Instagram, your website, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, you'll find me mostly on Instagram. It's Claudia M. Gebhardt. But then, of course, my website's Claudia Gebhardt. You know how it goes. Personal account took over my main, my main name. But yeah, I'm mostly on Instagram. Like to be active on stories. And then also, I mean, if you want to find me on Pinterest too, I'm trying to reboost myself on my own Instagram or Pinterest. Oh gosh. Right. I'm mixing them up. But yeah, no, you can find me on Pinterest too. I like to spend some time on there. Obviously, I'm probably in it every week with my clients, and I do check mine. So right. Yeah.
I love it. So what is kind of your last tip for anybody who is looking to kind of play around on Pinterest, and, like, any tips for somebody starting out and kind of, like, whether it's sharing just themselves or their blog or anything, like, what's this small tip to get started?
I think the small tip is just get started, you know, just really create that business account. Don't like move your personal into your business, make it an actual business account. Take time to set it up, and then take time to build out the content that you need. Don't rush it, because Pinterest is super overwhelming. There's no need to get all, you know, haddock over it, because if you don't set it up correctly, your analytics won't reflect as much as you want. And also, just a reminder that it takes sometimes 3 to 6 months for a pin to optimize, which we were talking about that earlier. Optimize is like that big SEO thing for people to actually see it, especially if you're a brand new account. Don't expect millions of views. Don't always focus on impressions, and just keep being consistent. At the end of the day, that's what anything in life is, whether it's on Instagram, on Pinterest, life, just be consistent with something and you'll definitely get the results that you need.
Yeah. Pinterest is a long-term game. And I feel like what you've kind of talked about with just even your business too, and trying different things, getting clients, like, it's a long-term game. Like, just keep it going, keep it rolling with the consistency. So I love that. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast, Claudia. I love talking to you always, every time I get to talk with you. So, and I had a lot of fun. I hope everyone checks you out and looks at what you do on Pinterest and also just Instagram, and maybe talks to you on a wine chat or something.
You know, I'm all for those. Almost any night. But thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on. Thank you.